All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, look with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 18 this morning. What a tremendous blessing it is, again, to be assembled together here this morning at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and just been looking forward to the day when COVID will not be an issue, and we don't have to worry about that, and we can just continue to come in and worship the Lord in our place, our sanctuary, a place of refuge, be strengthened to go out and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, that's what our world needs today, is a representation of Jesus Christ. And I trust that we'll be strengthened today to be able to go out and do just that. So 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go ahead and stand with me if you're able to stand with me. And you at home, likewise, do the same thing. Just act like you're right here in the auditorium with us today as we read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. We're going to start in verse 16. Just read down to verse 18. The Bible says, and Paul here writing to Timothy, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity for us to assemble ourselves together here today. And all that are here that have taken advantage of that opportunity, and all of those that are here via the live stream and taking advantage of that opportunity, we thank you for it and pray, God, that you would bless each and every one that has that desire to hear from you, to draw closer to you. I pray this morning, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Timothy is Paul, the Apostle Paul's last letter. It is a prison epistle, meaning that Paul penned this entire letter, this epistle to Timothy, while he was in prison. He addressed it to, he would call Timothy his son in the ministry. And Timothy would be one of those that would take the baton that Paul would pass down and continue to serve Jesus Christ, continue to do the work that God would have him to do. And I trust that we've been doing that now for some 2,000 years, from one generation to the next generation of Christianity, just continuing to pass down the baton to be able to carry on the race and accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish for him. He closes out this letter in 2 Timothy. He closes out with a great truth concerning deliverance. Now, in verse 16, we find here Paul is in prison, and Paul is going to have to face his accusers at his trial. And that's what he says there, "At my first answer." He was to stand trial. He was to be able to give an answer to the accusations that had been made against him. And so Paul now is standing at his trial, and he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me. All forsook him." So he is standing there to represent the cause of Christ at his court hearing, if you will, at his trial, without any support of any other disciples, without any support of any of those that had been supporting him all through his ministry. For whatever reason, there was no one there. In verse 17, notwithstanding, praise the Lord for this, Paul was very much aware of this, the Lord stood with me. I've often said, if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You and God are a majority. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. And all the Gentiles, the Romans, he was in a Roman court, and all of those that were there, everyone that would be able to hear him might hear. And he said, in doing this, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Satan believed he had a tremendous victory in having Paul arrested and having all these false accusations, looking forward to Paul's execution. He was in the mouth of the lion. But Paul turned it around, and he was able to preach. Because he says that by me the preaching might be fully known. Now he's at his trial, and he's representing himself. And so they have to give him time to speak. No one else is there, but he is aware of God's presence. And he preaches the gospel, no doubt. He says, I was delivered because Satan would not have wanted Paul to preach. Satan would not have wanted to set this up to where the Gentiles could hear Paul preach the gospel of Christ. But God worked through it to give Paul an opportunity to preach the gospel. And so he says, I was delivered, defeated the devil, and was able to turn this thing around so that the Gentiles would hear the gospel preached at this time. Verse 18, Paul left Timothy with this truth, and which we'll be preaching from mostly this morning. And the Lord shall deliver me. Now he's writing to Timothy because he wants Timothy to have this very same faith that he would have. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. The Lord's going to continue to deliver, as he has in the past, and as he will in the future, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Meaning that Paul says, I'm not dying prematurely. Satan is not going to be able to take my life, and Satan's not going to be able to limit me as far as what God would have me to accomplish in my life. Satan would lose every battle until Paul was ready for heaven. Paul is writing this. Paul understands this. And he's wanting Timothy to have this, but then not only Timothy, because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and has been preserved for us today and every other generation of believers. For this same truth that Paul was aware of, he wanted Timothy to be aware of, God wants us to be aware of. That he will continue to deliver us. You say, all right, Timothy and every faithful servant of God's can have this promise. But Paul was martyred for Christ. This would be the last writing that Paul would have before his life was taken. He was executed. So is Paul wrong? Did God fail Paul? I think verse 18 has the key here. First of all, verse 18 says, he's going to preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He's going to preserve me, deliver me, until it's time for me to go on to glory. Until God says, all right, your race has been run, the work is over. Matter of fact, Paul had this in mind. I think Paul knew that he was not going to live beyond this. He knew this was going to be his last letter, but he still wanted Timothy to realize that God will deliver you as long as you stay faithful to God. He is going to give you the victory over the devil every time. Every time. Paul would write right before this, chapter 4. Look there with me, verse 6. He said to Timothy before that closing remark, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, this is what I have to look forward to when my life on this earth is over and I'm on my way to my heavenly kingdom." He says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them," which includes us here today. It included Timothy then. It would include every faithful servant of God of this entire church age. "But unto all them also that love his appearing." You love his appearing when you're serving him, when you are living for him, when you're living the Christian life as God would have you to live it. You would love to see Christ come back. So Paul knew that he had been delivered from in the courtroom for him to be able to preach the gospel before he was martyred for the cause of Christ. But he also realized that God would continue to deliver him until that day, until that time in this world, in his life, that he had completed, and God is going to call him on to glory. The key words that Paul writes here that we need to be aware of, that sometimes we read over and don't realize and don't see it. In verse 18 he says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." Now that in light of everything else Paul said, I mean, sheds a lot of light on what's taken place. God did not fail Paul by allowing him to go to glory. God did not give him false hope in thinking that he would be delivered from that prison house and delivered from that execution. No, God prepared him for that. But every delivered me from every evil work. So we need to study that. Who is behind all evil? Now come on, plug in with me here this morning, because this is something that all of us are going to have to deal with. I mean, we go through trials, we go through troubles, we go through a lot of different things individually, as a family, as a church, as a Christian nation. Anyone that's saved and wants to represent Christ on this planet Earth, all around the world, there are believers all around the world that want to represent Christ, that want to help people to understand that the world is filled with lies and deceits, and what the people need is the presence of God, the blessings of God. You have the presence and the blessings of God when you have God. And as long as you're faithful to God and serving God, you're going to be delivered from devil, Satan, every time. One of my daily prayers is, "God, deliver me from any kind of satanic harm." I pray for my family. I pray for this church, our church family. God, deliver us from any kind of satanic harm. Now, we're going to go through trials and we're going to go through some struggles, but Satan's not going to control them if you're praying that prayer. And you believe God is going to answer that prayer. So that means that when I face a trial and I face some troubles, I don't have to look at it as Satan getting the victory here. Now, he might have had a part in it, but he had a part in it to destroy, to devour you, where God, if you're going through it and you're walking with God, he has allowed it. So who is behind all evil? We know it would be, and Isaiah gives us the word of the archangel that was kicked out of heaven, Lucifer. Lucifer as a fallen archangel, also referred to as Satan or the devil, brought evil to the earth. There was no evil here. Everything God creates, he creates good. But Satan fell from heaven. He brought evil to the earth. Peter writes of that in chapter 5 of 1 Peter when he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So he reveals to us that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he's our adversary. He's the enemy. He's the one through evil wants to devour you. As we study the Word of God, we find there is no good in Satan, none at all. There's nothing good. He can't tell the truth. There's no truth. There's no honesty. There is nothing good in Satan. And likewise, there is no evil in God. Because there's no evil in God and there's no good in the devil, it's why no man is good on his own. Because in the very beginning, when Adam disobeyed God, he yielded himself to Satan or evil. And it filled him with a sin nature. After being warned it would happen, Satan got the victory. In Romans in chapter 3, look there with me. I want to establish this here so we all get on the same page. So you following me this morning? Come on. Come on, everybody. I know it's... we're still trying to figure everything out. But you're in church this morning. Praise the Lord for this. Yeah. And so stay with me here. I think it's going to be a blessing to you if you stay with me and get the truths that God has for you this morning. It's why no man is good on his own, because there is no good in the devil and there's no evil in God. But Satan has part in our lives. Because of Adam's sin, that sin nature has been passed down to all humanity. We are born with a sin nature which is evil. No matter, don't let humanists tell you something different. I believe what the Bible teaches me. I believe what God has revealed so that I might understand the truth concerning past, present, and future. The Bible reveals truth there. And so we are born with a sin nature. The sin nature means that there is evil present within us because of the devil himself. In Romans in chapter 3, in verse 10, it says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. On his own, there is no righteous man. On their own, there is no man that doeth good. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God on your own without the leading of the Holy Spirit. Without God, you're not going to do. There's none that do this. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You're not an exception. There are no exceptions because of a sin nature and Satan being the evil. There's no good outside of the influence of God, outside of the influence of Christianity. There is no good because it is influence of the devil, and the devil is evil. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 17, there's none good, but one, that is God. Jesus came understanding this. He wanted us to understand this. There's evil in the presence because of the devil is real. And because of that devil, there is a sin nature inside of us. And because of a sin nature on our own, there's none that's going to do good. There's none that's going to go in the good direction there. It is an influence. And can I tell you, in the United States of America, where this nation has been influenced by Christianity more than any other nation on planet Earth, it has influenced people. It has influenced children by its laws, by the morality. It has been influencing the lives of individuals without them even realize it's Christianity, without them even realize this is the influence of God, because the nation has been influenced. Then those that are raised in this nation have been influenced by this. They're not good on their own. They're good because if they are have any good in them, it's because of the influence of that which is good, that's God. Without God, there is no good. That's why I hate to see the world turning away from God, devising something that they feel like and think that's better. And that's an evil deception. So, deliver me from every evil work. That's what we're focused on here. So, evil. I trust you have a better understanding of that now. It's the devil behind all evil. What is his work? God wants us to know this. What is Satan's work? Now, I shared a little bit of this even on Wednesday night, but in the book of Revelation, let me just read it to you, because we find God has revealed to us things that we need to know about. We need to know about evil and the work where it comes from and the work of evil. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the devil, okay? He's cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. Verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Those in heaven, you don't have to worry about the devil because he's not there. You don't have to worry about evil because there is no evil in the presence of God. So in heaven, you can rejoice. But at the same time, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because there's evil here. Because this is Satan's domain. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. As we get closer to that end of times, he will continue to get worse. Evil will continue to have more and more control over earth. What is his work? Well, we find out to deceive. Jesus taught in John chapter 10, verse 10, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's going to steal anything and everything from you that God wants you to have. You see, basically, Satan's work is to oppose the will of God. Sin is anything opposite from the will of God. If we are not doing what God tells us to do, it's sin. If we're doing that what he tells us not to do, it's sin, because it's opposing God. How we live our lives, how we act, how we behave. Satan is here, and evil is to oppose the will of God. And in doing that, he will steal all the blessings that God would have us to be bestowed upon us. He will kill and he will destroy. Whatever God wants, whatever God's will is, he's out to destroy it and kill it. In chapter 5 and verse 8, again, he says, our adversary, this devil, he wants to devour us. He's wanting to devour anything and everything. He can convince you to live a certain way. He will devour you without you even realizing that was the influence that got you to go in that direction. and he will devour as a roaring lion. The Paul said that God delivered him out of the mouth of. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, we find that he is one who sets snares or traps. We have to be aware of the traps that the devil uses to enslave us. The snares that the devil uses to keep us from doing the will of God. Representing Christ as we ought to represent Christ. That's his work. Now we're looking at what God promised that we can claim concerning deliverance. He has promised to deliver us from every evil work. So many times Paul was delivered. So did God fail to deliver him from execution? No. What do you mean? Well, there was greater good would come from it. God will not deliver us from what he will work through. Many trials that we face might be instigated by evil, but allowed by God to serve or accomplish a greater purpose for good. Did you get a hold of that? That's really pretty powerful. Because this is something that Paul would apply. He's trying to help Timothy to understand this is what he's talking about. And something that all of us need to understand. Many trials that we might face in life might be instigated by evil. It was evil to use lies and deceits to try to convict Paul for crimes he didn't yield to. That would have been evil. But allowed by God to serve a greater purpose for good. I think of Jesus. Was it evil for them to accuse him falsely of crimes he never committed? There was not one sin. Jesus never committed one act of sin. He was a sinless Son of God. So, did Satan think that he was getting the victory when Jesus was crucified on the cross? Did God fail to deliver him? No, not at all. You look at the cross and you look at the crucifixion and you look there and you think evil. Yes, everything that led up to that. But then you realize and you need to understand God allowed it for a greater good. Because in his crucifixion, God was focused on 3 days later. In his crucifixion, God was focused on a resurrection, a price that had been paid for all humanity that would need to pay a price. Jesus would pay the price for your sin and my sin. So it was allowed and even designed for good. Yeah, amen. God knew that Sunday was coming. Sunday being the resurrection. Can I tell you, God knows what's going to come out of what he allows when we don't. Satan would love to convince you that he's got the victory. And yet, no, we have the promise of being delivered from every evil work. Every evil work. It might have been evil, but yet God, if he allows, if you have it, if you're going through it, can I tell you that there's a greater good that God sees and why he allows it? COVID? Evil? Yeah, come out of China. Affected us like we have had no idea of how it would affect the church. Did God fail us? No. I don't know all that's what's going to come out of this, but I do know if God allowed it, because he has promised he's going to deliver us from every evil work. So it might have been evil leading up to this, but can I tell you, there's good. God has a purpose. He has a plan. And there is good. He wouldn't have allowed it. I don't have to know what it is. It will eventually be made clear. Maybe it is to figure out who's really saved and who's not. Who's committed to his church and who's not. It has been a tremendous blessing for this pastor to see the faithfulness of this church body. And if nothing else, tithing. It's just been amazing. Going through what we're going through, and yet people are staying faithful because God is faithful and they know what God will have them do. And they're tithing and they're doing everything they can to stay part of the church, whether it's via the live stream or they're making whatever efforts to come here and doing what needs to be done safely. Is this something that God's allowed to be able to help us to see our level of faith? I don't know. Has it tested our level of faith? It does. It has. I just know God has delivered us from every evil work. I have that faith. I have that truth to hold on to. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Another example. Paul thought it might be evil. It was a messenger of Satan. And it might have been evil instigated by the evil, but allowed by God to serve a greater purpose for good. Lazarus' death? Mary and Martha? God, if you don't, Jesus, if you don't have been here just a little earlier, you could have kept this evil from happening. Listen, God has plans. Mary, Martha, listen. God has plans. Don't lose faith. Just look to him, because you're going to experience something that is going to impact you for the rest of your lives. You'll never forget Lazarus walking out of that tomb. And everyone around them, it would impact them like nothing else could have. And God says, it might have been evil, instigated by evil, but I had some greater good purposed by allowing it. Death of loved ones is not evil. Now, the reason for death is evil. What brought death upon us is evil. But experiencing the loss of loved ones is not. As I thought over this and thought over this idea of what's impacted my life, the death of my 2-year-old niece, as a older teenage boy, impacted my life to the place, you've heard me talk about it. Her name was Cherie Barnes. We named our youngest daughter Cherie in honor and memory. That was not evil.
There was so much good that came out of that. That's why God allowed it. 2 years old, spinal meningitis, died. My dad, the second death that has impacted my life, more than my dad, 59 years old, died, heart, massive heart attack. Wasn't evil. It wasn't evil. God seen a greater good. My mom. Three brothers. Two sisters. None of them were evil. Would Satan love to make me think it was evil and God has somehow forsaken me and he allowed something that happened without delivering me from it? Yes, Satan would love to get you to think that. But listen to me. He's going to deliver me from every evil work. That means that Satan didn't take them from me. God's seen a greater good by allowing it. That's powerful stuff. Yeah. Genesis in chapter, let me just read this to you. Genesis chapter 50, we find this taught. This is just how God works. This is from the beginning to the end. God will work this way. Joseph, did God fail Joseph in allowing all this evil to take place in his life? No. None of them. Being sold by his brothers, being placed in prison, falsely accused of rape, on and on and on. No, and it came down to this, and Joseph was able to say this. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me." Instigated by evil, yes. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Paul had this understanding. He wanted to share that with Timothy. God's preserved it for all of us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us and even preserve us unto heaven. But he will deliver us from every evil work. Understand it. Claim it. Be helped by it. I could have her head bowed. Every eye closed this morning. It's a message God has for you. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know how Satan is working to try to hinder you and your Christianity and your peace of mind and your joy. I don't know. But I know that that's what his work is. I know that's what he's trying to do. Just stay focused on the one who has proven his love for you and has given you this promise of deliverance from every evil work. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray as we have studied it and we've preached it that you would help each one of us to see it as you want us to see it and be blessed by it. Lord, I pray right now that if there's decisions that need to be made based upon the preaching and the teaching of thy word, there might be somebody that has seen this and realizes they've never received you as their personal Lord and Savior. They do not have your protective hand upon them. They do not have you overcoming the devil for them. Lord, I pray that that person would get saved today. Others that are not living for you and they can't claim this either, I pray that they would understand the importance of living for you. I pray, God, for all of those that are living for you, that Satan would love to try to take away a peace and joy. I pray, God, that you would help them. I pray that you just work as only you can work right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.